Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, June 21st, 2021. Coming up this hour.
Nuclear talks with Iran get complicated as the Islamic Republic elects a new hardliner.
The White House takes aim at Russia, putting more sanctions in play.
Infrastructure's back in focus as the clock ticks down to strike a bipartisan deal.
New York mayoral candidate Eric Adams says a campaign volunteer was stabbed in the Bronx. Plus, tropical depression Claudette is gaining strength again. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stash, Aaron Swartz. Another Yankee triple play to end the win over Oakland. The Mets lost in Washington, and John Rahm won the U.S. Open.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. futures higher to start the week. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 15 points this morning. Dow futures up 149. NASDAQ futures up 63. The DAX in Germany is up 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.41%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.25%. And NYMEX crude oil is up about 0.3%. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We begin in the Middle East, where Iran has elected hardline cleric Ebrahim Raisi as president. The move threatens to complicate diplomacy with the U.S. and Europe. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Simone Foxman in Doha.
Raisi is a potential favorite to succeed Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. He went to a seminary school in Qom. After that, he became a prosecutor. Importantly, he was implicated, according to human rights groups, in the essentially fatal crackdown on thousands of political prisoners in the late 1980s. And then in 2009, as well as 2019, he was part of crackdowns on anti-government protesters that actually garnered sanctions from the United States. That could complicate potentially improving relationships between Iran and the United States if we do see a return to that 2015 nuclear deal.
And Bloomberg's Simone Foxman reports that talks around that nuclear deal are looking bleak. Iran failed to reach a deal to revive the agreement after a sixth round of negotiations. And if Iran does not return to the deal, U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the Islamic Republic could face more sanctions.
We can reimpose sanctions in a devastating way, and the Iranians understand that. So we retain substantial leverage. Second, there are many more things that Iran wants in the way of sanctions relief that go above and beyond what's in the original Iran nuclear deal. So we will come to the table not just with sanctions leverage, but with a united front of the world powers that will pose to Iran a choice.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan spoke on Fox News Sunday, heard every week on Bloomberg Radio.
And Sullivan's not just targeting Iran. He says more sanctions on Russia are on the table. The National Security Advisor tells CNN Moscow will face serious consequences if opposition leader Alexei Navalny dies in prison.
We're not going to pull our punches, whether it's on SolarWinds or election interference or Navalny, when it comes to responding to Russia's harmful activities.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says the White House is preparing more possible sanctions on Russia. That's on top of the first penalties leveled against the Kremlin back in March.
U.S. relations with Venezuela are also in focus this morning. Last week, we brought you an exclusive interview with President Nicolas Maduro, who used the opportunity to ask the White House to loosen sanctions. Here he is again, speaking through an interpreter.
The sanctions should be recognized as illegal, irrational, extremist, cruel, and they should be lifted.
Now, the White House is responding to those remarks from Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro, rejecting his call for relief from sanctions. The Biden administration said Maduro needs to do more to restore democracy before penalties are lifted.
Now, when it comes to domestic policy, it's decision time for the White House on an infrastructure deal. That's according to Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
I would just say this. President Biden, if you want an infrastructure deal of $1 trillion, it's there for the taking. You just need to get involved and lead.
Lindsey Graham was on Fox News Sunday, heard on Bloomberg Radio. He is one of 21 senators proposing the framework for a bipartisan infrastructure bill. President Biden has said he'll review the $580 billion measure today.
When it comes to the pandemic here in the U.S., the latest COVID-19 variant appears to be spreading, especially among the unvaccinated. And Kate says more from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Former Food and Drug Administration Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb tells CBS has faced the nation that the vaccination rate varies widely.
Some states like Vermont or Connecticut have very high vaccination rates, above 80%. Other states are struggling to get to 50%. And when you look at the modeling that's circulating right now among epidemiologists about what we face in the fall, they are predicting that in a scenario where we only get to about 75% of the eligible population vaccinated and have a 60% more transmissible variant, which this new Delta variant may be 60% more transmissible.
Dr. Gottlieb also predicts that vaccination rates will decline over the summer before picking up in the fall. In Washington, Ann Cates, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ann, thank you. And former FDA Commissioner Gottlieb was on Face the Nation, heard every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio. Right now, there are 34 states with less than half of their population fully vaccinated. At the bottom of the list are Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, and Wyoming.
Let's turn our attention to the markets now, where it was a rough session overnight in Asia. Stocks in the region posted their biggest one-day drop in a month. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us now from Singapore with the recap. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Japan's Nikkei 225, which has rallied more than 80% from its pandemic lows, bore the brunt of the selling as investors dumped out of cyclical trades. The Nikkei 225 was down more than 3% to 28,010 points, its biggest one-day drop in 4 months. Australia's ASX 200 closed lower by almost 2% in Sydney, with financial stocks sold off amid the drop in yields. South Korea's Kospi was down 0.8% in Seoul, despite positive early trade data. The won fell to a three-month low. Asian crypto stocks were sold off amid China's ongoing crackdown on Bitcoin mining and the prospect of tighter regulations elsewhere. In Singapore, Juliet Saleh, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. As you mentioned, it's been a rough morning for Bitcoin. That crackdown from China is weighing on sentiment, and so is a dip in risk appetite. Bitcoin headed into the weekend pushing $36,000. This morning, it's trading at $32,914. That's down more than 8%. S&P futures are up 17 points this morning, and straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City mayoral candidate Eric Adams says that one of his campaign volunteers was stabbed in the Bronx yesterday. Adams told ABC 7 the volunteer was attacked with an ice pick.
He was a volunteer that came out every day, and actually the video shows that he was out giving out, you know, literature for the campaign, but he was stabbed multiple times.
Adams says that the volunteer, who has been working hard, was stabbed on 150th Street and Morris Avenue. The 42-year-old volunteer underwent surgery. The suspect fled the scene. All of this comes as New Yorkers head to the polls tomorrow. Ranked choice voting makes its debut in the city's mayoral primary. Rather than just picking one candidate, voters get to rank several in order and preference. Even if a voter's top choice doesn't have enough support to win, their rankings of other candidates still play a role in determining the victor. Because of the new system, people shouldn't expect to learn who won the election on election night. There are 13 candidates on the ballot in the Democratic mayoral primary. Only two Republican candidates face off, making ranked choice a non-factor. You can hear live coverage of the primary tomorrow on Bloomberg beginning at 7 p.m. Wall Street time. Tropical depression Claudette is regaining strength and expected to return to tropical storm status as it nears the coasts of North and South Carolina. Tropical storm warnings remain in effect for all the Outer Banks. The system is blamed for 13 deaths in Alabama. A tornado hit suburban Chicago. The storm, located late Sunday near Darien and Burr Ridge, damaged homes and downed trees. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is eyeing the Biden administration's infrastructure plan as a way to pay for the added coverage for the nation's seniors who rely on Medicare. Schumer says eyeglasses should not be considered a luxury item.
Hearing aids are very expensive these days. Dental care is very expensive these days. Optical care, eyeglasses, and care for your eyes is very expensive these days. And the average senior citizen living on a fixed income can't afford it.
Senator Schumer says the lack of coverage has plagued and burdened people since Medicare was started in 1965. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg QuickTake, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael. Thank you. We're coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshauer.
Good morning, Nathan. A Father's Day U.S. Open victory for 26-year-old John Rahm 3 months after he became a dad and 2 weeks after a positive COVID test cost him a near-certain victory at the Memorial Tournament. At Torrey Pines, Rahm emerged from the pack. Birdie putts on 17 and 18 to beat out Louis Oosthuizen, and the South African has now finished second in 6 majors since he won the British Open in 2010. It's Rahm's first major victory. He's the first Spaniard to ever win the U.S. Open. If nothing else, the Yankees have mastered the art of turning three.
Runners lead at first and second. No one out. Pitch. Hit on the ground at third. Ashella steps on the back. Goes to second. Two. On to first. A triple play. A triple play. Ball game over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
WFAN the call. The Yankees' third triple play in the last month. Second in the last 4 days. Second game-ending triple play. 2-1 victory over Oakland. The Yanks' fifth win in the last 6 games. And all five have been come from behind. They won this one on a Gary Sanchez 2-run double in the sixth inning. In Washington, too much Kyle Schwarber. The day after he hit 2 home runs, he hit 3 more. Nationals beat the Mets 5-2, won 3 of 4 in the series. An unlikely NBA Final Four. Suns and Clippers in the West Finals. Neither has ever won a championship. Phoenix took game one, 120-114. Devin Booker at 40 points in a triple-double. And it'll be Milwaukee and Atlanta in the East. Only one title for both teams. None in the last 50 years. The Hawks took game 7 in Philadelphia last night, 103-96. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Okay, John, thank you. Right now, S&P futures up 18 points, Dow futures up 177, NASDAQ futures higher by 69 points, gains of just about 0.5% across the board for equity futures. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, the yield 1.42%. We talk markets next with former Gartman letter publisher Dennis Gartman. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, sunny, hot, humid today. Chance for late day shower or thunder shower going up to near 90 degrees. We'll be near 80 tomorrow. Upper 70s by Wednesday, currently 75 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. And U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning, while European shares are also gaining at this point. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 20 points, Dow futures up 197, NASDAQ futures up 81. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32, yield 1.42%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.25%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 36 cents at $72 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.8% or $14.10 at $17.83.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1888 against the dollar. British pound 1.3855 and the yen at 110.07. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Joe Biden's special envoy for North Korea says he hopes to see a positive reaction from the North soon on U.S. offers for talks. Sung Kim, Biden's special representative for North Korea, is in Seoul to speak with South Korean and Japanese officials about the U.S.'s stalled diplomacy with the North over its nuclear program. About 60 Catholic Democrats on Capitol Hill wrote a letter against the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops allowing priests to deny public figures like President Biden from taking communion based on their public stances on abortion rights. In the NBA, it will be the Hawks versus the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Atlanta beat the 76ers in Game 7. The Suns beat the Clippers to advance to the Western Conference Finals. In Major League Baseball, the Yankees beat the A's. The Mets lost to the Nationals. The Red Sox and Orioles lost. The Giants won. In golf, John Rahm won the U.S. Open. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's take a look at these markets now as we kick off a week that is sure to be dominated by the Fed. Dennis Gartman joins us now, chairman of the University of Akron Endowment and Investment Committee, of course, former publisher of the Gartman Letter. Great, as always, to speak with you, Dennis. And as Karen mentioned, we are seeing a pickup in equity futures this morning after four straight sessions of losses for the S&P 500, particularly following the hawkish turn that the Fed took at its latest meeting. I wonder what your reaction is to how the markets have reacted to the Fed this past week.
I think there was a bit of overreaction to the Fed. I don't think it was nearly as hawkish as some people want to suggest that it was. The fact that the Fed may be tightening monetary policy sometime late next year, that's, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 months away, a long time into the future, I think that's a great step away from being terribly hawkish. But nonetheless, at least they're thinking about tightening, and that's what Mr. Powell told us to think about on when he had his press conference on Wednesday. So to see that the market had sold off a tad was not to be unexpected. I think we probably sold off a tad too much. It's still a bull market. The stock market's major trend is still from the lower left to the upper right. And where I had not liked stocks in the short term for the last 6 weeks or so, beginning on Friday, I thought perhaps we've gotten back to the point where it's reasonable to be a buyer once again. So I'm a little more bullish than I had been of the stock market because I think that the market had overreacted to the supposed hawkishness of the Fed statement. Again, I didn't think it was nearly as hawkish as a lot of people wanted to suggest. We had gotten a little too overbought in stocks 2 weeks ago. Now we're probably a tad too oversold in stocks this morning. And I think one should be a buyer rather than a seller. Not dramatically so, but at least exploratorily so.
So what do you think about the prospects for the reflation trade? Has the Fed's turn put an end to that?
Well, it's a bit early to say that, but certainly it changed the psychology, at least in the short term, didn't it? But take a look at what's happened to some of the major commodities around the world. Take a look, for example, at the grains. I had been very bullish of the grains until about a month ago, and suddenly the grain market gave up the ghost and collapsed. The weather has been really quite good as far as the grain-growing regions of the United States. We got rain over the weekend on the corn crop, which was much needed, actually. And so you got corn down rather dramatically over the course of the last 5, 6, 7 days, soybeans down very sharply over the course of the past 5, 6, or 7 days. Even wheat in the midst of harvest is down over the course of the past 5, 6, or 7 days. Take a look at what has happened to the lumber market. You got lumber futures, nearby lumber futures that traded as high as $1,700 per thousand board feet, about 6 weeks ago. Now we're trading under $900 per thousand board feet. So I think some of the reflation trade or inflation trade has been stopped for a while. Let us, it's a bit early to say that it's over, but certainly a lot of people had gotten on the inflation boat, and that boat was listing to one side a bit too heavily. A lot of people being taken out of their trades, but what I think that the inflation trade is over for the next 2 or 3 years. No, I do not think that that's true at all.
What about the flattening we're seeing in the yield curve following the Fed's move? We saw the 30-year fall below 2% overnight. It's back above 2% now. What does that signal for you?
Well, I have been a proponent of a widening the yield curve, and I like. If you ask me which stocks I wanted to buy, several times I said because of the widening, the widening of the yield curve, I wanted to be a buyer of banks. And the fact that the yield curve has narrowed rather appreciably in the past 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 trading sessions tells me that the banks have gotten a bit overbought on the upside. Now I think I'd return to I expect to see the yield curve widen once again. I think that the inflationary psychology will be enhanced over the course of the next 5, 6, 7 months. I think it's a long time until the Fed tightens monetary policy, and I think the narrowing of the yield curve is a bit exaggerated. So I think the yield curve will widen once again, will steepen once again, and I think that banks are probably a good place to hide one's money for the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months.
We'll talk more about inflation psychology in the next half hour here, and I want to get your take as well on what kind of volatility we could see as we hear from a lot of Fed speakers later on this week. So we'll continue our conversation with Dennis Gartman, chairman of the University of Akron's Endowment and Investment Committee, later on in this 5 o'clock hour on Wall Street as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. But looking ahead to the market open, we are seeing gains intensify for equity futures right now. S&P futures are up 22 points now. Dow futures up 213. That's a gain of 0.6%. NASDAQ futures also higher by 0.6%, up 82 points. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, sunny, hot, humid, chance for thunderstorms today, going up to near 90 degrees. We'll be up near 80 tomorrow with a chance for more scattered showers and storms. Sunny and nice for Wednesday. Right now, 75 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's catch you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We begin in the Middle East, where Iran has elected hardline cleric Ibrahim Raisi as president. The move threatens to complicate diplomacy with the U.S. and Europe. We get the latest from Bloomberg's Simone Foxman in Doha.
Raisi was implicated, according to human rights groups, in the essentially fatal crackdown on thousands of political prisoners in the late 1980s. And then in 2009, as well as 2019, he was part of crackdowns on anti-government protesters that actually garnered sanctions from the United States. That could complicate potentially improving relationships between Iran and the United States if we do see a return to that 2015 nuclear deal.
And Bloomberg's Simone Foxman reports that talks around that nuclear deal are looking bleak. Iran has failed to reach a deal to revive the agreement after a sixth round of negotiations. U.S. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan addressed the matter on ABC's This Week, heard on Bloomberg Radio.
Our paramount priority right now is to prevent Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. We believe that diplomacy is the best way to achieve that, rather than military conflict. And so we're going to negotiate in a clear-eyed, firm way with the Iranians to see if we can arrive at an outcome that puts their nuclear program in a box.
National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan says Iran could face more U.S. sanctions if it fails to return to the 2015 nuclear agreement.
Meantime, when it comes to domestic policy, it's decision time for the White House on an infrastructure deal. That's according to Republican Senator Lindsey Graham.
We're willing to add more new money to infrastructure in this package, and I am hopeful that the White House and Joe Biden stay involved, we can get there. I would just say this. President Biden, if you want an infrastructure deal of $1 trillion, it's there for the taking.
Lindsey Graham was on Fox News Sunday, heard on Bloomberg Radio. He's one of 21 senators proposing the framework for a bipartisan infrastructure bill. President Biden has said he'll review the $580 billion measure today. Futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures are up 23 points. Dow futures up 217. NASDAQ futures up 85. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.43%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.25%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 40 cents at $72.05 a barrel. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
It's now 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City mayoral candidate Eric Adams says that one of his campaign volunteers was stabbed in the Bronx yesterday. Adams told ABC 7 the volunteer was attacked with an ice pick.
He was a volunteer that came out every day. And actually, the video shows that he was out giving out, you know, literature for the campaign. But he was stabbed multiple times.
Adams says that the volunteer, who has been working hard, was stabbed on 150th Street and Morris Avenue. The 42-year-old volunteer underwent surgery. The suspect fled the scene. All of this comes as New Yorkers head to the polls tomorrow. Ranked choice voting makes its debut in the city's mayoral primary. Rather than picking just one candidate, voters get to rank several in order of preference. Only two Republican candidates face off, making ranked voting choice a non-factor. You can hear live coverage of the primary tomorrow on Bloomberg, beginning at 7 p.m. Wall Street time. After more than a year of dormancy, the cruise industry is trying to get back into business. Bloomberg's Karen Chase has the latest.
It's a shakedown cruise of sorts. Passengers piled onto Royal Caribbean's aptly named Freedom of the Seas to test the concept that cruises are safe if everybody on board, passengers and crew alike, are vaccinated. The ship, with about 650 volunteer Royal Caribbean employees, set sail from Miami for a two-night loop called a simulated voyage on the company's first trip in 15 months. If all goes well, the first revenue cruise will depart from Florida Saturday. Karen Chase, Bloomberg Radio.
Officials say the deadly incident at a South Florida Pride event Saturday was an accident. Wilton Manors police say a driver plowed a pickup truck into a crowd, killing one person and injuring another at the Pride parade Saturday. The victims and the driver are all members of the Fort Lauderdale Gay Men's Chorus. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer wants to expand Medicare. Schumer says there are very few people who don't want this to happen, so he's hopeful that he can get the federal dollars for it.
Will it be easy to get this done? No. But will it be overwhelmingly popular and have the full support of the American people? Absolutely. And that's why I believe we have a darn good chance to getting it done.
Senator Schumer says eyeglasses are a need, not a luxury. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. Coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Nathan. John Rahm had just sunk a long birdie putt on the 18th hole, much like the one he had on 17. He then walked off the course at the U.S. Open carrying his three-month-old son on Father's Day. The 26-year-old Rahm won his first major.
Having closed before, and I just knew on a Sunday, the way I had been playing on the Sundays the last few majors, I just had to be close, and I knew I could get it done, and I'm keeping that good Sunday mojo going, and man, I got it done in a fashion that apparently only can happen to me at Torrey Pines.
2 weeks ago, Rahm was not allowed to play on Sunday, had a six-shot lead at the Memorial, and then learned of a positive COVID test. That likely cost him $1.7 million, but he just won $2.25 million. Yankees made it five of the last six. They trailed in all five. The suddenly red-hot Gary Sanchez with another big hit. 2-1 double, sixth inning. The Yanks topped Oakland 2-1. Roldis Chapman got the save. He walked the first two batters and then got the ace Sean Murphy to hit into a game-ending around-the-horn triple play. The Yankees had never had more than one in any season. They've turned three triple plays in the last month, two in the last 4 days. The Mets lost in Washington 5-2. Kyle Schwarber hit three more home runs. That's five in a span of 21 hours. Atlanta Hawks, who took out the Knicks last night, took out the Sixers. They took Game 7 in Philadelphia 103-96 and will now play against Milwaukee in the East Finals. Game 1 in the West won by Phoenix, 120-114 over the Clippers. Stanley Cup playoffs, Vegas won Game 4 in overtime in Montreal. The Islanders play tonight at Tampa Bay. Both semifinal series are tied at 2. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
New York has lost more jobs as a share of its workforce than any other big American city. And while the country has regained two-thirds of the positions it lost after the coronavirus arrived, the Times reports New York has recouped fewer than half, leaving a deficit of more than half a million jobs. Well, it's about to get tougher to fire workers in New York City. Laws taking effect in July ban at-will employment among the city's fast food businesses. Restaurants will have to provide just cause to fire workers in the five boroughs. The standard requires employers to show workers have engaged in misconduct or failed to satisfactorily perform their duties. New Jersey home prices continue to soar in Bergen County. The Herald reports median home prices in Tenafly jumped 16% this May compared with a year ago. Hackensack rose 19%. Teaneck saw a whopping 33% increase. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Okay, Ed, thank you. It is 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KRLD in Dallas. American Airlines flight cancellations set to continue today.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm talking about projections for Amazon's annual Prime Day shopping event.
I'm Caroline Hepburn, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the cooling housing market.
Home price gains start to ease off in Right Moves June report.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting GM and Ford have been competing in an electric vehicle arms race.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Fed policy is still in focus after last week's policy decision. We could get more clarity this week as central bankers make more public remarks. And here with more is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Investors will be listening for any remarks about scaling back the pace of pandemic bond buying and the outlook for inflation and interest rates. Matt Hornback is head of global macro strategy at Morgan Stanley.
You know, this is the pendulum swinging from one end of the spectrum where Yellen essentially made policy based on forecasts to the other end of the spectrum where now they're making policy based on realized data that may end up proving transitory over time. That's the issue here.
Today we hear from St. Louis Fed President Jim Bullard and Dallas Fed President Robert Kaplan as they take part in a virtual Fed Week event. Also today, New York Fed President John Williams gives a virtual keynote to the Mid-Sized Bank Coalition of America. Tomorrow, Fed Chair Jay Powell will testify at a House subcommittee hearing. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And a group of former Morgan Stanley traders has turned a cryptocurrency venture into a unicorn. Amber Group has raised $100 million from investors including DCM Ventures and Tiger Global Management, pushing its valuation to $1 billion in just 18 months. Futures higher. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Sunny, hot, muggy. Chance for late day shower or thunder shower going up to near 90 degrees. Highs near 80 tomorrow with scattered storms possible. Sunny and nice Wednesday. Upper 70s. Currently 75.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moskow. And U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning, along with European shares, as markets regain a measure of calm following volatility spurred by the Federal Reserve surprise hawkishness. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 22 points, Dow futures up 206, NASDAQ futures up 86. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. The 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.43%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.25%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.33% or 25 cents at $71.89 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.9% or $15 at $17.84 an ounce. The euro 1.1895 against the dollar, British pound 1.3869, and the yen at 110.12. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. President Joe Biden's point man for North Korea said the U.S. was ready for talks anywhere, anytime with Pyongyang, providing a strong signal Washington is prepared to revive a stagnant disarmament dialogue. Sung Kim, the U.S. Special Envoy for North Korea, had discussions today in Seoul with his South Korean counterpart and Japan. The cancellation of hundreds of flights by American Airlines is being partially blamed on a staffing crunch. A record number of travelers returned to the skies. In the NBA, it will be the Hawks versus the Bucks in the Eastern Conference Finals. Atlanta beat the 76ers in Game 7. The Suns beat the Clippers in Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. Major League Baseball, the Yankees beat the A's. The Mets lost to the Nationals. The Red Sox and Orioles lost. The Giants won. In golf, John Rahm won the U.S. Open. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. We are at 5:49 now on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Dennis Gartman joins us once again, the chair of the University of Akron Endowment and Investment Committee. Dennis, Karen mentioned calm in the broader markets, but we are certainly not seeing that, at least at the moment, in the cryptocurrency market. Bitcoin right now is down 7.5%. It's even worse for the other major coins that are tracked on the Bloomberg Cryptocurrency Monitor. What is going on with crypto?
Well, obviously, first of all, crypto has, I have not liked crypto for a long period of time. I've never been a believer in it. I find it, it's a millennials market. God bless them, those who have done well in it. I wish them continued well. I have my doubts whether they shall be or not. But you have the Chinese beginning to crack down hard upon miners. There's no question that all of the central banks, or the major central banks of the world, want to have their own sovereign cryptocurrency of some sort. That's putting pressure upon the cryptos outstanding at this point. And you've got to watch what Bitcoin does today. It has traded down as low as $32,000 per share per Bitcoin. There has been some support, and those who are long will hope that that support will hold at $32,000 to $30,000 per Bitcoin. I have my doubts as to whether it shall be. The central banks of the world look with a great deal of disdain to the cryptocurrency markets themselves. No central bank wants to give up sovereign control over its own currency, and they see the cryptos as an enemy at this point. So watch what happens at 30,000. I have my doubts as to whether that support that has shown up for the past 3 or 4 or 5 weeks will continue to hold. I think it will probably be taken out to the downside. But China is cracking down. The United States government views the crypto markets with some disdain. The ECB sees the crypto markets with some disdain. And in that environment, 30,000 probably shall be given, as we say, on the board of trade.
Does the pressure on cryptocurrencies put more attention on more traditional inflation hedges like fiat currency, like gold?
I would think so. I quite honestly, in my position as the chairman of the University of Akron's endowment, I have avoided the crypto markets completely. And beginning in late February, we actually made a decision to move a 3% of our portfolio out of stocks and into gold. Last week was not one of the better weeks for that position, but given the fact that we were able to buy it at the end of February, we're up still about 4 or 5% on the gold position. And I do think that on balance, as money moves out of Bitcoin and as money moves out of the other cryptos, it'll flow at the margin to the gold market. So my propensity is much more amenable to the gold market than to the cryptocurrencies, no question about that.
In the time we have left, Dennis, I want to get your view on what we could hear from the Federal Reserve later on this week. Of course, we're going to hear from three Fed presidents just today. After what we heard from the Fed last week, could we see more volatility in the market based on what we hear from Fed speakers this week?
No question. Mr. Bullard opened the floodgates of volatility with his comments late last week. When they go into the quiet period, one gets the sense that many, after coming out of the quiet period, after an FOMC meeting, a lot of people have a lot of things that they'd like to say. So I think there'll be a great deal of volatility in the interest rate market here in the United States. But I think that probably interest rates at the long end of the curve want to go higher. The fact that we took the 30-year bond under 2% probably was a psychological move of consequence. And my bet is that we'll be above 2.5% over the course of the next 5 or 6 months. The 10-year getting as low as it did, what do we got down to, a 135 yield at one point. I think in the next 5, 6, 7 months, we're going back to the 1.6 yields. And over the next 2 or 3 years, at the 10-year, we're going up past 2 and 3%, no question about that. Interest rates at the long end will be higher a year from now than they are now, no question about it.
Dennis Gartman, former publisher of the Gartman Letter, now chair of the University of Akron's Endowment and Investment Committee. Dennis, always great to get your insights on a Monday morning. Thanks again for being with us here on Bloomberg Daybreak. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're following this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
iLife Technologies wants the Supreme Court to review a federal court's patent decision. It saved Nintendo of America from a $10 million patent infringement verdict. The Biden administration is looking to cut the racial home ownership gap. It plans to ease the Federal Housing Administration's calculation of outstanding student loan debt in mortgage applications. And President Biden plans to nominate a woman who put out a report that angered former President Trump to be the Inspector General for the Department of Health and Human Services. That report found hospitals had few COVID tests, kits, and PPE in the spring of 2020.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, another legal story. We're watching a high-profile clash of religious rights and gay rights at the Supreme Court. This time, religious rights won the battle. In a unanimous decision, the court sided with a Catholic foster care agency that won't place children with same-sex couples because of its religious beliefs. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grosso speaks to Steve Sanders, a professor of constitutional law at Indiana University's Moorer School of Law. Were you surprised by the unanimous ruling?
Well, I wasn't surprised by the unanimity of the ruling once I read the opinion and realized just really how narrow this decision is. It really does not break any new ground. It is more or less a straightforward application of existing Supreme Court precedent. And frankly, if the city of Philadelphia decides to make a fairly minor modification of its policy, it's possible that it could go back to not doing business with Catholic Social Services. So the opinion seems to have been crafted to be as narrow as possible while being faithful to the court's precedents. That, I think, explains why it got the support of Justice Breyer, Justice Sotomayor, and especially Justice Kagan, who I think would not have joined an opinion that would have resulted in what she saw was an inappropriate expansion of the rights of religious organizations.
Some are calling this a setback for gay rights. Do you agree?
I think that's probably an overstatement. So if you are subscribing to a sort of absolutist view of non-discrimination laws, then maybe you don't like this decision. As a practical matter, this decision probably represents the kind of accommodation that even some liberal scholars have been calling for that allows religious organizations to be faithful to their principles without doing any actual practical harm to the ability of same-sex couples to function in society and to be treated equally.
But this is another in a long line of victories for religious groups at the Supreme Court.
This is a court that has taken a very sympathetic and expansive view of religion, has protected religion. It's entirely likely that more cases like this are going to keep coming to the Supreme Court. This decision didn't break any new ground, really, in advancing the religious liberty rights of religious believers. It simply found a way to fit this situation into the court's existing law. But, you know, this opinion also doesn't signal that the court is closing the door to other theories and other claims of religious discrimination. So a decision announced the same day, the Obamacare case, is sort of largely seen as the court saying, look, enough of this, we're just done with the challenges to Obamacare. This decision more or less maintains a sort of status quo.
And that's Steve Sanders, a professor of constitutional law at Indiana University's Moorer School of Law, speaking with the Bloomberg Student Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLawGo. And a correction from just moments ago, that was obviously Joan Doniger in for Jeff Bellinger in the Bloomberg Law Report. S&P futures are higher this morning, up 21 points, and our top stories are straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.